Look at Acts chapter 1. Is it true that the commandment of Jesus is not the Ten Commandments, but it's the commandment to be filled with the Spirit? Notice this. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This is Luke writing. He wrote Luke, but he also wrote Acts. All right, so this is really Luke 2, the second book of Luke. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. That's what he's talking about, the book of Luke. Until the day in which he was taken up, after, through the Holy Spirit, he had given commandments, circle that word, to the apostles whom he had chosen. What commandments did Jesus give at the end of the book of Luke? Remember, he's talking about the former account. He said that the book of Luke is the former account of what Jesus did until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. What commandments did Jesus give? Well, we'd have to go to the end of the book of Luke to find out. Luke chapter 24, we'd have to go there to find out what commandments did Jesus give. Because it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because we want to walk under that commanded blessing, right? You're commanded to be blessed, so don't disobey. Amen. Notice what he says in verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Here comes the commandment. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So we have to pick up then. Notice the commandment was, don't leave Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. Go back to Acts chapter 1. Notice what he said. Verse 2 again, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments. What were the commandments? Tarry in Jerusalem. Don't you leave town until you are clothed with the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And I will come to you and you'll not be an orphan. People that love Jesus receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They obey the commandment. Amen. Now, verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. What is this promise? Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The commandment of Jesus he's talking about in John 15 is to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons whom the Father has put in his own authority. But, here we go. What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's not the new birth. That is a second experience. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into you. It's the Holy Ghost within. But when you are born again, you can receive this endowment of power. He said the world can't receive him. So it's not salvation, because the world can receive salvation. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In other words, heaven is manifesting on earth. Now, what does that blessing look like? Notice it said in verse chapter 2, verse 1, this is when that blessing came. This is when that commanded blessing came. when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Hold your place. Let me read it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. They were in one accord in one place. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard. Psalm 133 is a prophetic psalm about the baptism in the Holy Ghost in the day of Pentecost. It is a Psalm 133 is a Pentecostal baptized in the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2 prophecy of what's going to come. And when they were dwelling in one place in unity, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. Here comes that anointing. With the Holy Spirit, here comes that commanded blessing, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there's three members of the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Each of those have a gift. God the Father's gift to the world is Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you receive the new birth. You receive salvation from all of your sins. Amen. Well, Jesus, his gift to the church is the Holy Spirit. He gave the best gift he could give, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. But what about the Holy Spirit? What's his best gift? The best gift that the Holy Spirit could come up with was speaking with other tongues. God the Father gave Jesus. Jesus gave the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost gave them utterance, gave them tongues. It is the most important gift that you can receive, because where you are speaking with tongues, you are commanding and agreeing with the commanded blessing. Glory be to God. We walk in our full inheritance as joint heirs with Christ when we receive Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our power, and tongues as the activator. Glory to God. Praying with tongues is operating in the highest gift that can be given. That's why the devil and religious people say, well, isn't tongues the least of all the gifts? You won't find that in the Bible. That's not in the scriptures. That is man-made religion. That's man-made doctrine to minimize the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's what I think. I think wherever there is smoke, there's fire. And I think where there is so much criticism against something, the devil must be afraid of it. He doesn't mind you being born again. Just don't receive the Holy Ghost. And he doesn't mind you having the Holy Ghost and speaking with tongues one time when you're filled. Just don't keep on speaking with tongues. Just don't keep on praying with tongues, or you're going to wreak havoc on my kingdom. So I've got to make you feel like you're weird for speaking with tongues, when honestly, I think you're weird for not speaking with tongues. Because that commanded blessing is in those three gifts: Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the gift of tongues. That's his highest gift. When the Holy Spirit, when God gave us Jesus, he gave us the fine china, you know. Hallelujah. You know, we get up the fine china for the special guests. When Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, he pulled out the fine china. When the Holy Spirit gave us the gift of praying with tongues, he pulled out the best, the fine china. Amen. Isn't that good? Yes. Praise God. Now, I want you to see this, and Rhea pointed this out. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Well, I'm not going to do that. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to tie this in so we can see then the blessing of Abraham is the baptism in the Holy Spirit with his gifts. Do you all see that? Now, let's look at some characteristics of the blessing of Abraham and compare them to the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see that the blessing that was on Abraham is identically, has the same effect as the baptism in the Holy Spirit has on us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now watch this. Number one, comparing the blessing of Abraham with the Holy Spirit, the blessing on Abraham was not based on Abraham's goodness. And the Holy Spirit and his gifts are not based on our goodness. Amen. It's a gift. Now watch this. Genesis chapter 12. We looked at this. This is the original blessing of Abraham being spoken in the earth. This is it coming. Notice what? Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So now God has spoken that over Abraham. God has released that blessing on Abraham. Now, at the end of verse 3, Abraham is supernaturally blessed. Amen. Now, what did Abraham do to earn that blessing? Nothing. Just nothing. God said it to him, and it's so. Uh-huh. God spoke it. He commanded the blessing on Abraham. Yeah. God commanded that blessing on Abraham. Yeah. So what does Abraham do? Notice that in verse 10, let's just see what happens. It's not based on his goodness. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now, notice this. The blessing of Abraham and the power of the Holy Ghost will work beyond natural circumstances. The land, it's famine. It's a financial crisis. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you. In other words, I want you to tell a half lie. I want you to lie. It's a half lie. All right? So, you know, so it's a half lie. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. They told the top dog, you know. And the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well. Abram the liar. Well, for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants. And when I say male donkeys, you could say cars. Female donkeys, you could say, and camels are trucks and pickups and whatever else you need. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh. Remember, he said he'll curse those that curse you? And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you've done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now, therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So he goes down with the blessing of God on him. He lies. He comes out not only with his wife, but all that he had. Well, what all did he come out with? Verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1, then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had. Notice how that's mentioned. And Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Yep. Now, why was that? Was that because Abraham earned it? Because Abraham was morally perfect? No, he half lied. He told a half lie. But the blessing that God spoke over Abraham wasn't because Abraham was holy. It's because God blessed Abraham through the obedience of another, the coming Lord Jesus Christ, who would die and shed his blood for the lie Abraham told, so that the curse was removed and the blessing remained intact.